Blessed again to have a man of God, and I believe he has another servant of God with him. Pastor Paul Nasenge has, you know, ministered to us a few weeks ago. For those that never had an opportunity to hear him, here he is again, and we are ready to be ministered to. And so, without further much ado, I would like to welcome him to the microphone to come and bring the word of the Lord. Amen. Can you welcome him with a hand, please?
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God is good. Amen. It's good to see you again, and I want to give the Lord all the praise and glory. And also, I want to thank the pastor and the leadership of this church for giving me an opportunity to come again and share what God has laid in my heart. Amen. So it is a honor for me to stand before you, and I thank God for what I call divine connection. Yeah, that God connected us, and what God has started, it will continue. Hallelujah. Yeah, I've come with a Paul, my friend, and a Mama Gladys. Maybe you can stand and stand once again. These are my hosts who are hosting me here, and we have a long story. Many years ago, Mama used to come to our meetings in Kajiado. We go to Bisil Crusades, and those are many years when he was still a young man. And then when she came to America, when I met her, I didn't know I have met her before. But later I learned we used to preach together. And Paul, he has been to our country twice. He came and he preached in our churches. We had seminars and revival meetings, and it was a blessing. And then we have Bernard here. Yeah, Bernard, can you stand up? Amen, amen. Bernard is from Kenya, and he's a student here. I don't know what he's studying, but he's my friend. But I know he's in school, and I met him at the conference. And then, we shared a room. And from that time, the Lord has connected us, and I told him, I'm about to go back to Kenya. Please come and hear me preach, and come and I will be blessed. So I thank God because of Bernard. He's a man of God, and I really thank God for him. So he's sitting together with the pastor. They will know one another more because they live in America. Amen. I think I have about 2 weeks before I leave home. So it is a blessing to be here. I want to share the word of God. And if you will, stand with me as I read the word of God. I'm reading from the book of Romans, chapter 12. I want to read it first 1 and 2. But verse 2 is my title, my text today. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you may present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Say amen. Let us pray for the word before you sit down. Father, in Jesus' name, I stand before your people today. King of glory, use me as a vessel. And anoint, O King of glory, the ear of every listener today, that we may receive that which you have for us, O God. I thank you because your word is living. It is powerful. It is the bread of life. It is the water of life. Sharper than a double-edged sword. Heavier than a heavy hammer. I pray that, Lord, through the power of the gospel, great things are going to happen in our midst today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yes, this morning, I want to pray from what the Bible calls in verse 2, transformation of your minds. Be transformed. Be transformed in your mind. You know, it is so wonderful that God tells us we must be transformed. We are what we are today because Jesus came to transform. The only reason why Jesus left us in glory in heaven to come to this world, he came to change people. He came to transform. And now we are no longer going to hell because we have been transformed. We have been changed. And there is nothing that can really bring total transformation in the mind or in the life of a man except, you know, like the word of God or the blood of Jesus or having faith in God. So I want to thank God this morning because God is in the business of transformation. He wants to transform us. That is why every day you come here and you hear the word of God. That's why God has written the Bible so that you can read the word of God. And as you continue to read the word of God, and because there is power in the word, God is transforming you. You might not know, but as you continue to sit and hear the word of God and receive the word of God and allow the word of God to remain in your heart, there is something happening in your life. When I got saved many years ago, after some time, I met with a lady who was a sister of my friend, and we used to be together with him. And then she looked at me and said, God, what has happened to you? Nikastuka, nikasema, what do you mean? Say, you look different. And I said, I got saved a few weeks ago. Praise the name of the Lord. She was able to see there is something, there is a change in my life. God wants to transform us because there are things that God has for us. God has places that he wants to take us. There is a blessing that he has for us. He wants to give us, he desires to give us what is called the right of the right of the believer, the rights of the sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. Things that are rightly ours in the kingdom of God. But he might not give us some things until transformation has come into our lives. Praise the name of the Lord. Therefore, we need to be changed. In other words, transformation means you lose the old mind and you get a new mind. And the Bible says, let the mind which was in Jesus Christ be in you. The problem for some of us, we come to Jesus, but we want to retain the old mind. The mind that we used to have. You are in Jesus, but you are still carrying your village mind, the village mentality. You still think the way our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers and our fathers used to think. You see yourself in those eyes. That's even how you describe yourself. But I want to tell us, God wants to transform us so that then we lose that old mind and have a new mind, the mind of Jesus. The mind that can receive the things of God. The mind that can love God. Because the old mind is an enemy to the things of the kingdom. It is an enemy to the things of the kingdom. That is why we need to have a new mind. We need to transform so that we don't walk with an inferiority complex or a grasshopper mentality. You always use yourself as nothing, useless. You cannot be able to do. There are people who are in the church, but they still see themselves very small. Can you pray? No, I cannot be able to pray. Can you get into praise and worship? I don't think I can be able to do so. You see yourself as nothing. But I want to tell us today, by the word of God, you need to know you are not what the devil says you are. You are not what the world says you are. You are not what the circumstances says you are. You are not even what your background says you are. We are what God says we are. We can only able to receive that and put into our life when our minds are transformed. So that when your mind, even when your flesh tells you, you know, because of where you come from, because of what you have been through, because of this and the other, you cannot be able to reach a certain level. You say, no, I am not what my circumstances say I am. I am not what the world says I am. I am not what the devil says I am. I am what God says I am. And God says I am a child of God. I am blessed. I am more than a conqueror. I have an inheritance. Hallelujah. We are supposed to be changed so that we don't become the opinion of the people or the opinion of the devil or the opinion of circumstances. Praise the name of the Lord. Transformation. Lose that old mentality. Because you can be in America, but you're still carrying the village mentality. Hello? You are here because it is not where you are, but it is what happens in your mind. Praise the name of the Lord. So you need to be changed here so that you begin to behave like a child of God. You begin to behave like an overcomer. You begin to pray with authority. You begin to believe God with all your heart and to say with God, all things are possible. And because of that, I can become what God says I can become. I can go where God says I can go. I can get what God says I can get. Praise the name of the Lord. It is through change in our minds. Now, when you read the Bible, there are two examples that which came to my mind this day. The Bible says there was a man by the name of Jacob. And Jacob, when you read the story of Jacob, he was not a very good man. He was a con man. Dangerous man. He conned his brother of his birthright and made sure that he will get it. You know, he waited until his brother was very hungry. And when he came, without anything from hunting, he said, Jacob, my brother, can you give something to me, something to eat? I'm very hungry. And says, I'm not going to give you unless you give me the birthright of the firstborn. I said, what is my birthright when I'm dying with hunger? He said, okay, I'm ready to give you, but give me. And he said, I'm going to give you. And he said, you don't just give me, say, I'll give you. I want you to say something. Say from today. I said, from today, I'm giving my brother Jacob the birthright of the firstborn. From today, help me God. And Jacob was very happy. And he gave him the food and he went away. And he ran away and went to his uncle Laban. And he was there for a long time. But the Bible says when things became tough because he found his, you know, I think there was a family curse of con in that family because he found his father, you know, his uncle was more of a con man than him. So they started fighting, you know, two con men. So today Jacob will con his uncle. The following day his uncle will go to sleep and he will get an idea on how to con his Jacob. And things became so tough and Jacob decided to come back. But when he was going back, the Bible says that when he reached somewhere, when he was about to cross the river, the last river to go home, he remembered that his brother is going to shoot him, is going to kill him. And he was so afraid. So he went somewhere and he started calling upon the name of the Lord. And he had an overnight prayer. Alikuwa na kesha. So in the prayer, he prayed until God, he heard the prayer of Jacob. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank God that we serve a God who hears prayers. He will come to you when you call upon his name in faith. So he sent an angel. And Jacob saw an angel. So he started wrestling and said, bless me. You must touch me. You must bless me. You must bless me. And the Bible says, when the sun was coming up, Jacob told the angel, and the angel said to Jacob, let me go. Because daytime is coming. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Praise the name of the Lord. And I want to tell you there is a word there. The Bible says, since the days of John the Baptist up to now, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence shall take it by force. There are some things you don't just receive just by sitting. You must arise and call upon the name of the Lord and seek the face of God. And call your blessing to come in. Praise the name of the Lord. So Jacob, the Bible says that after struggling, the angel turned around and he hit Jacob so hard and he broke this place. And from that moment, Jacob was transformed. His mind was transformed. His heart was transformed. Even his walk was transformed. Hallelujah. And then he started going, walking to his family. And they saw him coming from a distance. And they looked and said, who's that? He looks like Jacob, but he does not walk like Jacob. Because his walk
was changed. He was his walk was transformed. Hallelujah. So he started walking. I believe he was walking like this. Because his leg was broken by the angel. And the wives looked at him and said, "Who's that? He looks like our husband, but he does not walk like our husband." The children said, "He looks like our father, but he does not walk like our father." Hallelujah. The servant says, "He looks like our master, but he does not walk like our master," because he was transformed. When God transforms our hearts and our minds, we will have a different walk. We'll have a walk of faith. We'll walk in victory. Hallelujah. We will have even a walk of holiness. Some of us, we are not walking in holiness because we have not been transformed. But I come to tell us today, God is ready to do a new thing, even this day in Jesus' name. If you are able to say, "Lord, come through for me." His name was transformed. He was changed. From Jacob, he became Israel. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks of the man by the name of Jabez. He met with God. And after the Bible says he seeked, he called upon the name of Israel, the name of God of Israel. And God heard him, and his name was changed. From Jabez, the despised one, he became Jabez, the honorable. Hallelujah. They started to call him. You know, they used to call him Kajabez Kale Kajama, ambaye anakaa kama sijui anakaaje. But like in ile siku alipobadilishwa, wanasema Jabez mheshimiwa. Hallelujah. When God comes and transforms, people will have no choice. They will call you honorable. Praise the name of the Lord. Transform your minds. Hallelujah. Transformation, so it begins in your mind. But I want you to know this. It happens when you rebel against the things that are trying to oppose you. That is what is called holy rebellion. You have been in that situation for many years. The devil has put you there. But you must arise and say, "I will not remain like this forever. It is my time to come out of this problem. I must be changed. I must be transformed." If you believe, say amen. Transformation comes when you begin to put your attention on God. Your focus on God. Because whatever you give your attention to, the spirit of that thing will come to live in you. Hallelujah. Number two, transformation comes when we change our vision, the way we see things. The Bible says David went to fight with Goliath. And when David went to fight with Goliath, you know, everybody was looking at Goliath and saying, "Oh, this man is too big to fight. We cannot be able to fight. He's a very experienced person." So he will come, and he did not even need to fight. He will just come and say, "Look at me. I'm big. I'm experienced. Bring somebody to fight with me." And the armies of Israel would run and hide themselves behind the rocks. But here comes David. And he looked at him and he heard what he was saying and said, "I can't be able to fight him." But this is what I want you to see. Because he had a different, you know, he was seeing things differently. Before even he went to fight with Goliath, he saw victory. Hallelujah. And that's why he said, "Today I will kill you and I will cut your head and I will make you the supper to the birds of the air." Hallelujah. He saw victory. We need to change and begin to see victory. Many times we are defeated because we see defeat. You see failure. You see what the things that the enemy has put before you. But we need to be able to see that even in the midst of the problem, in the midst of the battles of this life that we are going through, we need to see that is victory for us. Because God says, tells us we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. The Bible says that there was a man. Three Hebrews boys, Meshach, they call them boys, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And the king came and said, "From today, everybody in this nation, or in this, whatever they used to call it, is going to worship this idol, or this thing. They must bow before it."
But because this man were connected to God and they were transformed, when the king said, and whoever will not bow before it, we are going to throw him into the fire. And this is what they said. They said, King, live forever. We will not worship your idol. Even if you're going to throw us into the fire, our God will deliver us. So in the midst of the problem and the situation that they are going through, they saw deliverance. God is going to deliver us. And when the king heard that, he thought these guys are out of their minds and said, make that fire 7 times hotter than usual. He thought he's going to scare them. But you cannot scare a man who knows the power of his God. He said, your God is going to deliver us. We need to be able to see the deliverance of God, even in the midst of the things that you are going through. Don't focus on the problem. Don't focus on the size of the enemy. Don't focus on the size of the sickness or disease. See the deliverance of God. Our God is going to deliver us. I want to prophesy to each and every one of us today sitting here. In the things that you are going through, there is deliverance for you. There is victory for you. God is coming through for us. If you believe, shout a big amen. They saw deliverance. Praise the name of the Lord. God told Abraham, as far as your eyes could see, I'm going to give you as inheritance. You will get what we see. What are you seeing in the year 2012? What are you seeing before you die? What do you see in your life today? Some of us, we allow, you want to get married, but you have reached a place, you begin to count your years and say, I don't think I will ever get married because nakaka na kwamba nimesaulika. Unaenda kwa kio unajiangalia unasema ni nini mbaya na mimi? Unaangalia unafikiri ni sikio, unafikiri ni pua, sijui unafikiri ni nini. Alafu unaona you conclude unasema haiwezekani. But I want to tell us today, begin to see a blessing is coming for you. Because with God all things are possible. If you believe, say amen. So God, we see Abraham, he saw an inheritance even before they departed with the Lord. God said, as far as your eyes could see. Nehemiah was able to do what God called him to do, because when the Sambalak and Tobias came and said, what you are building is nothing. Even if a fox will climb on it, it's going to collapse. And they tried to discourage, to talk him out of the project. He refused. And they continued working. But the Bible says that, when they realize this man is not going to come, they cannot discourage him. They say, please come so that we can have a talk. And he said, I don't have time to waste with you because I have a great work. Because Nehemiah, the moment that he put the first stone, he saw the completion of the wall. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. When you begin something small, see God bring it to completion. See God bring it to come to succeed. Say amen. Transformation comes when we allow God to change our mind. And by the way, point number one is that you must break or destroy that thing trying to hinder you. So we need to change the way that we see things. I know maybe you are sitting here today, and every time there are things that you are seeing in your life, and you think, I will not make it. Even sometimes you think you are going to die early. Sometimes back many years ago, I was sick. And I was feeling pain this side, really. And I didn't know what was happening, so I went to the doctor. I went to Ongotarongai. I was selling cows, and that day I had a lot of money because I had sold some cows, and my uncle, who had so many, had left some bulls. So, and I say today, because I have good money, why don't you go and see what is the problem with me? So I went, and the doctor checked me and checked, and he said, there is a problem in your heart. And he said, but don't tell anybody. I don't know why he told me that. And I was so scared. I said, my God, am I going to die young? I don't want to die young. Eh? So I started calling upon the name of the Lord. And I used to go to, every crusade. And when they say, how many people has a problem? I lift my hand. It can even be 10 times. How many are sick? I'll go. Because as long as I was feeling I'm not well, I'm ready to go for it. Hallelujah. So I went to this meeting. I went to, by those years, Reinhard Bonnke used to come to Kenya and hold crusade at Uhuru Park. And, you know, I'll go to those meetings and every other meeting. And without realizing, one day, I think after 1 month or two, I remembered, oh my, I used to have pain in here. What has happened? Without knowing, God healed me. Praise the name of the Lord. It has been over 20, almost 30 years. God has taken it away just like that. Praise the name of the Lord. But what I want to tell you, that time, you know, because I was still young in faith, it was like I was seeing death. By the grace of God, God was able to turn around because, you know, increased my faith and I said, I will be healed. I refuse to die. I will not die young. I want to live a long life. I want to get married. I want to have children. I want to serve God. Amen. What are you seeing today? The devil will come and tell you, this sickness will heal you. And some people will tell you, this somebody had a sickness like this and they died early. And you feel like you're going to die the same day. But you need to lift your eyes and begin to see there is healing for you. Because by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Hallelujah. And not only see, but you begin to speak into that situation. You pray and make a prayer like, you know, when one time my daughter was sick and she was very small and she collapsed, you know. And then my wife, she started running away with the baby. I don't know where she was going. She got confused. And I came out and I followed her. I didn't have shoes. And when I saw her running, I said, my God. Kwani mke wangu ameshikwa na wazimu. So I ran after her. I said, what's happening? He said, baby amekufa. I said, mtoto wa nani amekufa? Yangu, I said, mavana, my baby cannot die. Hallelujah. So I took the baby and I ran with the baby. And I looked at her. She looked like she has died. So I closed my eyes because I could not look her. And I looked heaven. I started looking heaven and I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I begin to pray the word of God. And I remember that prayer up to today. I say, Father, the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and they add no sorrow unto it. And the Bible says that children are blessing from the Lord. And because this is a blessing from the Lord, she's not going to die. She's going to live. I started prophesying. And before knowing, you know, I started feeling somebody was playing with my shirt. And when I opened my eyes, she's looking at me and smiling. Give the Lord a good hand clap. That's why you need to know the word of God, because there are situations that you go through. You need not only to pray, but you pray to the according to the word of God. You speak to the devil what God says about you. What about your children? Hallelujah. What about your life? Nehemiah saw the completion of the wall. Why were they able to do this? Because, number one, when you look in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, when Nehemiah and the children of Israel were building the wall, there was something that they were doing. And I believe this is what helped them. They were very close to God. And not only close to God, but there is something prophetic that I found there. The Bible says, when they were building the wall, with one hand, they were working. And with the other hand, they had a weapon. Hallelujah. People who are transformed, they don't put their weapons down. Or people who are going for a transformation, you need always to carry your weapon. There are some people, when they go to a place and they get a job, before they get a job, they had a weapon of the word of God. They read every morning. They look for scriptures where God speaks how he's going to provide. And they read and say, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is my word. And they pray and they seek God. And when they find a job, they put the weapon down and they start working with both hands. They forget the weapon. The weapon is the word of God. The weapon is prayer. Weapon is the name of Jesus. Weapon is the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. But this Bible says these people, with one hand they were working building the wall. And with another hand they had a weapon. You know, when you have a weapon, it does not matter how many enemies will come against you. Because the weapons are for fighting. But the moment you put it down, every devil and demon and curse and witchcraft and negative report and word will come to your life and they will destroy you. And I want you to remember the work of the enemy. The Bible says the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to do what? And to destroy. And God, knowing this, he did not leave us without weapon. He says, put on the whole armor of God so that you can be able to fight. And after fighting, you continue to stand. He says that the weapons of warfare are not weak, but they are powerful through God into pulling down all the strong of the enemy. People who see victory in the midst of the battle are people who make sure they have the weapon of the word of God. Hallelujah. People who see deliverance in the midst of the situation they are in are people who do not put down their weapon. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says that in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, you know, talking in that place, this is what he says. He says, I have fought a good fight. In other words, people who are going to see victory in the midst of what they are going through, a deliverance, they're people who refuse to quit even when the situation demands. Amen. You know, the devil wants us to quit. He's trying to make you to give up. That's why sometimes you pray and it seems God is not hearing you. Say, I have prayed for a long time. I think it is not God's will for me to receive this. Have you ever reached a place like that? I mean, if you are sick, how can you say maybe it is not the will of God for you to be healed? And yet the Bible says God sent forth this word and his word healed us our bodies. And the Bible says it's God who forgives all our sins and healed us from all kinds of sicknesses. It is the will of God for us to be healed. It is the will of God for you to live a long life. Amen. By the way, I want to remind you, even though sometimes we say God has called so and so home, I believe sometimes it's not God. The devil is a killer. But you know, the pastor cannot say to that to a family who was already briefed. So we'll encourage you. God has called this brother home. Hallelujah. And you say, amen. God has called this baby home. Why God should God call a baby home? Huh? But the devil is a thief. You need to catch a revelation. Say amen. Read the Bible in the book of Psalms 91. He says, with a long life, I will satisfy you. David says, I will not die. I will live. Hallelujah. I will live all the days of my life in this world. But the devil is a robber. He is a killer. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't quit. Whatever you're trusting God for, I want to tell you this year is going to come to for you. You're going to receive it. If you believe, say amen. Quitters will never win. And winners will never quit. Be a winner. Don't quit. Praise the name of the Lord. In order for you to be able to do that, one thing about Paul and David and Nehemiah and all the men of God is they learn to draw closer to God. Hallelujah. Because when you grow closer to God, that's when God will teach you. I want to come to the last point. People who are transformed or who want to receive transformation, the people who have what is called the hope of the harvest. Amen? Say hope of the harvest. You know, lack of harvest, when you don't harvest anything, that means you have nothing. You have to harvest in order for you to have. When there is no harvest, there is famine. There is drought. People will die. Things will become hard. But I thank God because one of the names of our God is called the Lord of the harvest. Hallelujah. He wants to give us a harvest. But there is no harvest without sowing. Hello? Can you wave at me a little bit? And I want to tell you the truth because you know I have only 2 weeks before I go to Kenya. So even if I tell you the truth, I will go. And before you stone me, I'm already in Kenya. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, the hope of the harvest. I say there is no, and we know there is no harvest without sowing. So this is what the enemy does. The enemy wants us to live poor all the days of our lives. The reason is that he knows very well when we don't have money, when we are poor, we cannot fulfill the greatest commandment in the Bible, in the book of Matthew chapter 28. Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel. But God wants us to prosper. The Bible says in the letter of 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, it says, I wish above all things your soul shall prosper as you prosper. Maybe I did not put it the way it's supposed to be, in every area, or prosper in every area of your life. Hallelujah. What does it mean? Spiritually prosper. Prosper be in good health. Prosper financially. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, many years ago, especially for those of us who are people who brought the gospel to Africa, I believe they did not have a revelation that they ought to have. Because they told us to be poor is to be closer to God. It is like the closer you draw to God, the closer you become poor. And God is making you poor so that you can be humble. I'm telling you, poverty will not humble you. In fact, it will make you very bad. You will steal. You will even kill people. Those people those thieves, do you think they are poor? They are rich? No, they are not rich. That's why they come and they take a mirror of your car and they go and sell with maybe 100 shillings. Eh? So poverty does not make people humble. So it is not the will of God for us to be poor. It is the will of God for us to be rich. The Bible says Jesus became poor so that we do what? We become rich. Hallelujah. But this is the thing. The enemy gives us what is called financial handicap. And the moment that you get into financial handicap, you'll have what is called potential paralysis. You cannot reach your potential. Hello? You can reach where God wants to take you. There, God desires to make us reach our potential, to reach our goals. Amen. I want you to say something. Can you say with me, I will reach my goals in God? Because greater is Jesus in me than the devil in the world. If you believe, give the Lord a good hand clap. But you cannot, or we cannot reach those potentials without money. Because a ministry needs money. You cannot reach potential academically without money. You cannot, there are so many things that you need. You know, you need money to be able to do. And you want even to buy something like this. You don't buy it by speaking in tongues. You don't go to the man who makes it and say, Rabba Shantala Bayanda pulpit. In fact, when you do that, they will call for the doctors and they will take you to the hospital because they think you are. Maybe they do it in America, but in Kenya, you can't do that. Praise the name of the Lord. It takes money. Amen. That's why the church needs to be rich. Hallelujah. Now, in order for us to do this, we must come out of what is called financial handicap. Praise the name of the Lord. But what I want to speak us today, because it seems many times we are in this place called financial handicap. And what is the cause of financial handicap? I believe these are the things that I want to share from the Word of God. Number one, of the causes of being financial handicap is called robbing God. Kumuibia nani? Mwizi. Wafungu la kumi. It's interesting. God says, the whole nation of you is cursed because you have become robbers. They say, can a man rob God? Yes. You have robbed me with the tithe and offering. And therefore, the whole nation is cursed. Even what the blessing, the small blessing that you think you have is cursed. Oh my God. Praise the name of the Lord. Because 10% belongs to God, and God says, bring it to me. And when you bring, I'll bless that which remains. But it's so interesting that the enemy makes us to think when we give 10%, we will lose. That's the way you see it. But the thing is that because the enemy knows the word of God, he knows when you become faithful in 10%, the 90% that remain will have the blessing of God in it. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve mammon and serve God. Mammon is the Syrian god of riches, goddess of riches. And that's where that word comes from. And you know, money or mammon needs servants. Money is looking for servants. And there is a spirit in money. It is the spirit of mammon, that goddess, looking for servants. That is why Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. God is looking for servants. And mammon, or the spirit in money, is looking for servants. Therefore, there is a spirit in money. So the money that you have, they can either have the spirit of God or have the spirit of mammon. Hello? But what can we do? In order for us, for our money, to have the spirit of God in it, we must give 10% that belong to God. Because that which remains is dedicated to God and it has the spirit of God. The 90% that remains can be able to do great things. So we have only two choices. Either to give to God or to steal from God. No, two choices. Hello? Two. Robbing God or bringing to God that which belongs to him. So it is for you to choose. And when you choose to rob God, you'll be in trouble. You think because your money will be cursed, it will have the spirit of mammon in it. And God says, because you have robbed me, when you put that money into your pocket will have holes. I say the other day, you'll have what is called leaking pockets. Leaking what? You put the money there, but it begins to leak. You don't even know how it goes. Because it's like it's leaking pole pole, slowly. And I told you how the leaking pocket do. Anytime that you get money, you receive 120 calls. Your cousin will call you. Your grandmother will call you. Your uncle will call you. Your daughter will call you. So and so will call you. And all of them are calling with a problem. They say somebody has been admitted to the hospital. Another one said, the chamber is going. Somebody is trying. He's saying, this beacon has not been put in the right place. Because that money is looking how to go away from you. Making sure, because that spirit, when it comes to you, it makes sure that there is a level of money that cannot remain in your account. And there are people, they always have a certain amount of money in their account. If it is 500, even when they get more, something will happen until that money comes to $500. I'm telling you the truth. Praise the name of the Lord. Because that is a spirit. Then it's, what is wrong? I've been planning. Every time I say this month, I'm going to add this money. How can you add? And your mother will call and say, she fall down. Akijaribu kufagia ile nyumba, akitumia ile kagunia ya nyumbani. Akaanguka kafujika meno. Akasema, mimi siwezi kukaa bila meno. Lazima niwekwe meno. Praise the name of the Lord. Because that money, that spirit which is there, make sure you don't get more than that which has been in your account. Because there is a curse, there is a spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. But the good news that we can come out of that, if you believe, say amen. By giving God that which belongs to him. Because when we give 10%, God will bless that which remains. What if your children get sick? And they get sick the time that you have money. And when the money is finished, they get well. You know, they cry the whole night. Wah! You don't sleep. So you rush to the hospital. You say, hey, they look at the baby. And then they say, this is the money that you need to pay. You go home before you give the medicine, the baby's okay. Waiting for the next month or the next week. Because the money is looking, you know, leaking pockets. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We need to bring that which belongs to God so that we can live a life that is blessed. So that our man will have the spirit of God, not the spirit of mammons. Hallelujah. God will protect our families when we become faithful. He will protect everything that we have when we become faithful. Number three, I want to finish. The other thing which brings the spirit of financial handicap, actually, and that one you can find in the book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And then the other one is in the book of Luke chapter 6, verse 38, disobedience. Because Jesus said, give and shall be given unto you. Give and shall be given unto you. That is a command. Hello? Give unto God and shall be given unto you. The problem with some of us, we want to receive, but we are holding like this. How can you receive when you are holding like this? God say, open that hand, release so that I can put my blessing. I can give, put money to you. I can give the blessing to you, but you are holding like this. God bless me. God give me. I want to receive in the name of Jesus. I come to receive my blessing this morning. And God say, release. Hallelujah. Disobedient. Give and shall be given unto you. So if you disobey the command of God, the opposite, give and shall be given unto you. So if you don't give, you will not be given. And some of us, in the other scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, the other one is selfishness. They're almost the same. But the Bible says, when you sow or give sparingly, that is a very hard English word for me, it will be given unto you sparingly. Ukipanda kwa uchache, tapanda kwa uchache. Now, it is so surprising that you want to sow very small. It is like you plant maize or corn, as you call them here, in a quarter of an acre. And you want to receive a harvest of 10 acres. It does not work like that. It says you will receive according what you have sowed. Amen. Some of us, when we give to God, it's like we give like the way we give to the alms to the poor. You know, sometimes you're giving to the beggar in Nairobi or whatever. So whatever you find in your pocket, that's what you give. In fact, some people, they carry shillings and say, this is for the beggars. So as you walk, you have some coins in your pocket, tinkly, tinkly, tinkly. And when you find it, because you are tired of them, you throw them to the beggar. Sometimes that is how the way people behave in the house of God. I'm not talking about these people here. There are no people like that in this church. I'm talking about those people. Give the Lord a good hand clap. So because of that, selfishness, you hold it so fast. It is time to release so that God can bless us. Say amen. Stand on your feet as I finish now. Now, maybe you're asking, so, preacher or pastor, what do you want us to do? I believe this is what we need to do. Number one, as a child of God, you need to catch a vision of the harvest. Begin to see there is a harvest for you. Say amen. Because he's the Lord of the harvest and he's your father, he wants to give you a harvest. Number two, when you give to God, I'm not talking about the tithe because tithe is not yours. Tithe belongs to God. Name your seed. Say amen. When you give a seed, name your seed. This is a revelation. I'm giving. This is my house. When you give that seed, you see a house. You see a car. You see a husband, if it's a husband that you want. You see a wife, if the wife that you're looking. You see a child, if it's a child that you're trusting God for. Say amen. So instead of seeing that seed, you say, this is a house. I'm going, this, my house is coming to me. My car is coming to me. Hallelujah. Number three, give sacrificially, because God is a God of sacrifices. God loves sacrifices so much. When you read about the men of God, they used to give sacrifices to God. God loves sacrifices. And in anything that is done sacrificially, it will always touch God. God is moved by sacrifices. I want to give you some example. The Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 5, Solomon gave 120,000 sheep during the dedication of the temple. He gave 22,000 bulls. He gave gold and silver. The children of Israel gave. And in verse 12 of the same chapter, the Bible says, and God appeared. Hallelujah. Because he gave, God was moved. There is something that will move God to act. It is doing things sacrificially. When you serve, serve sacrificially. Give your time sacrificially. Give your energy sacrificially. Give your finances sacrificially. It will touch God. If you believe, say amen. Number four, do it out of love. You know, it love is a thermometer that you love. Why? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. You cannot give sacrificially to anything that you don't love. But when there is the love of God in your heart, you don't feel bad or you don't feel like you have lost when you give. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible talks in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 10 to 16. The Bible says there was a woman, well, the widow of Zarephath. The Bible, she was collecting some wood to make some food for her son so that they can eat and die. The only meal. But the Bible says when the prophet came, she gave. She gave the last meal. And the Bible says from that day, she never ran out of oil of maize flour until the rain came. Hallelujah. She was a saint because she gave sacrificially. The Bible speaks in the book of Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. The Bible talks of the woman by the name of Mary. The Bible says she broke the bottle of very expensive oil and she anointed the feet of Jesus. The Bible says, and wherever this gospel will be preached, she will be remembered because she did it sacrificially. Hallelujah. I conclude by this scripture in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 9. The Bible says the Lord is able to give you more than this. Tell your neighbor, the Lord is able to give you more than what you have. Tell him again or her, the Lord is able to give you more than this. But there are principles that we need to follow in Jesus' name. Close your eyes in the presence of God. I want to pray. I want to finish with a word of prayer right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want you to focus on God today. I've talked about the principle that will help us to live a life that is transformed in Jesus' name. I don't know the area of your life that the Lord is dealing with you, but you know and God knows and he wants to help you. God wants to come through for you in the mighty name of Jesus. He's able, he's a miracle-working God, he's a wonder-working God. There is no impossibility in our God. Just have the hope of the harvest. Have a vision. Begin to see things. See victory. See deliverance. See yourself overcoming. See healing. See the goodness of the Lord, even in the midst of the things that you're going through. Don't focus on the problem. Don't focus on the size of the enemy. Don't focus on the size or the name of the sickness or disease. See, the Lord is a healer and there is no impossibility in him. Become out of that mentality that has put you to be a slave for so long. Lose that villain mentality, that grasshopper mentality. Rise and have the mind of an overcomer, the mind of a victor in Jesus' name, because God is able. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name above every name, the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word because your word is living. I've declared your word to your people. I've declared your word to your children today. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will drive this word and make it alive in the heart of every man and every woman standing, O Lord of glory, in this congregation today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, you desire to give us blessing. But there are principles that you have laid down for us to follow. And I pray, dear Lord, by the help of the Holy Spirit, you're going to help each and every one of us, O God, to be able to obey you, to be able to serve you, to be faithful, O God, to do the King of all glory, that which is required of us, O God, as your sons and daughters, O God, so that we will not live the same life. We want to go to another level. We want to move to a higher place, O God, a level of blessing and power, of victory, O God, of serving you, everlasting Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you and I bless you. I worship you this afternoon. I glorify your holy name. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah to Jesus. As I conclude now, if there are some people here, you have a need in your life. Maybe you are sick in your body. I want to tell you, God is our healer. You are here today. Maybe you are not even saved. You have not given Jesus your life. You can receive him this afternoon in Jesus' name. Don't remain the same. Give Jesus your life. That is the beginning place. Maybe you are here today and there is an area God is speaking to you. There is something that you say, Lord, come through for me. I stand to tell you today, God is going to do, because he's a faithful God. He's able. There is no impossibility in God. In Jesus' name. If you are here today and there is an area, you are maybe, I want to start by saying, if you are here and you are not saved and you want to give Jesus your life, raise your hand to Jesus. I'm going to pray together with you. Anybody here in our midst and you want to receive Jesus today? You're in the house of God and you're saying, today is my day of salvation. Raise your hand. You are here today and there is a need in your life. Maybe you are sick. Maybe there is an area God is speaking to you according to the word of God. And you are saying, Lord, come through for me. I refuse to remain the same. I come out of this. If you are here and you are saying that, raise your hand wherever you are. I want to pray together with you in Jesus' name. I want to believe God with you today in Jesus' name, that the Lord will come through for us in the power of his Spirit, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We sing a song in Swahili which says, he's able, anaweza yote, anaweza yote. That chorus says, anaweza yote. He's able, he's able, he's able, he's able. There is no impossibility in our God, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We want to pray.